Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
You guys, I have one of the most perfect granddaughters in the world.
Really?
Hi, this is Dan Hurst with Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. That's Mark Clifton over there and Mark Halleck over there. And she's 5 years old.
Okay.
And when they go to church, when her family goes to church, she will not go to, what do they call them now, life groups.
Okay. Mm.
And she will not get, you know, like that's really going to, you know, some little five-year-old's going, I'm not going to wife group, you know. And she will not go. She will not go. And the reason is because she likes the worship.
Mm-hmm.
She likes going to the worship. So her parents go, okay, you're going to stay with us. Mm-hmm. This is a big subject in a lot of churches.
It is.
Because there are two different cultures right now that are actually kind of colliding in this area. You should have children in children's ministry, in children's church, and sometimes they call it extended worship.
Right.
Or they should be allowed to go, or they should go into the worship service with their parents and sit there with their parents. What do you think about that?
Well, I think back in the day, when my dad was pastoring in the 70s, we had a bus ministry. And literally, we would go around on Saturdays and go to parks and offer gum to kids if they would come talk to us and get on our bus, you know, on Sunday morning. So, yeah, I can't do that anymore. But anyway.
Questionable these days.
Yeah, but the reality was, at that time, the church had about 250 in Sunday morning worship. We bring 150 kids on the four or five church buses.
Wow, that's crazy.
So at that point, with 150 kids, you without any parental supervision at all, you really did have to have some kind of children's church. Mm-hmm. That was so. Back in those days of the bus ministry, children's church was sort of an imperative. The bus ministry really, for the most part, is no longer around, and that situation is no longer around. But a lot of churches still have a children's church for grades 1 through 6 or 1 through 3. A lot of churches have extended session, as they call it, for 3-year-olds to 6-year-olds, as well as nursery. But here's what we've experienced in the last decade or so. You know, Dan and I are baby boomers, right? And so in the 70s or 80s, when we had our kids, man, we'd drop them off in the nursery. If they were screaming bloody murder, hey, that's the nursery worker's problem. I'm going to worship. You know, I don't care. What could happen to them there? But today, many young families, they may have a newborn, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old. They just don't feel comfortable dropping them off in a nursery many times. They want them with them.
That's right.
And listen, the worst thing, all right, turn it up and listen to this, guys. The worst thing you or anybody in your church can do, and sometimes your members think they're being so helpful. Can you please just let your members know in many different ways, communicate as much as you can. If you see a new person come to church with a baby or a toddler or a young child, and that young child or baby or toddler is with them in the worship service, do not go to that parent and say, hi, do you know we have a nursery?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's
I mean,
bad.
You think you're being helpful, but you're basically saying, get the kid out of here.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and they've
right.
chosen to bring that kid in here. So here's what we're going to talk about today. Why should you have children in your worship service?
Mm.
See, I'm going to tell you, Mark and I and Dan, we have a strong bias that children need to be in the worship service.
Yeah, yes.
All right? Now, we also have a strong bias that children need age-graded Bible study.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you need Sunday school or some kind of group session. But also,
to both ends.
You need to teach. We need to spend more time teaching parents how to gospel parent
Amen.
Your children
Amen.
Than that's trying right. to figure out how we're going to do it for 40 minutes a week.
Yes.
Right. So that's another issue.
Yep.
But we do believe in age-graded teaching.
Yeah.
But we have a strong bias that I think all children need to be in the worship service. Now, you know, if you're talking 0 to 6 months or a year, if the parent's comfortable leaving them with a nursery worker, okay. But I think even 6 months, bring the baby in there for a lot of reasons. Okay. So here we go, Mark.
Yep,
and Mark
yeah,
has written a book on this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And made a video, right?
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
I don't know about a video.
Mark, tell us the name of your book.
Well, anyway, we just put it out. I wrote it with my good friend Frank Trimble called Every Kid Matters. And the book is really designed to help churches shepherd children and help pastors. A lot of times pastors have lost a vision for their role in the lives of kids in the church. We delegate that to the children's ministry director. And I think it's written especially for small to normal-sized churches and how pastors can shepherd children as well as their parents. Well, part of that is this conversation.
Well, 1975, right? I know that's ancient history for you guys, but I'm riding to church with my family, my mom, my dad, my sisters. The only time we're together on Sunday morning is in the car on the way to church and in the car on the way home. Because once we get to church, we all go to our separate corners. Yeah. We go to our separate things. That's not good.
No, no.
So I want you to go through this list. Yep. We've got a list. We'll put it in the show notes. Yep. Number one reason children should be in worship service, Mark Halleck.
Yes, the preaching of God's word is transforming power, and children need to be present. They need to be present. The preaching of the word of God. We need to help kids fall in love with the preaching of the word. We need to teach them how to listen to a sermon. How is a child going to learn that if they're not actually under that and part of that?
You might say, well, they're 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. Listen to what we just said. And some of this comes from an article in the Gospel Coalition. Some of it comes from Mark. Some of it comes from me. Some from Dan. But this, I think, came from the Gospel Coalition article. The preaching of God's word is transforming power. We all believe that or we wouldn't be preaching.
Yes.
That means something supernatural happens in that preaching moment.
Amen.
And you want the children in there to experience it. Do they understand the doctrine? Do they understand the terms? Do they even understand what the pastor's saying? If they're 2 or 3 years old, probably not. But there's a spirit of God moving in that place through the preaching of the word. There's power there.
Amen.
Your children are exposed to demonic power everywhere they go.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Put them in the worship service to be exposed to the power of God, for goodness sakes.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's so good. Okay, number two, God can communicate to even the smallest child in ways we can't comprehend.
Oh, we think we know everything,
don't
we?
That's exactly
right. That child cannot understand that.
They're
not going to get that. Oh, my goodness.
Listen, 2 weeks ago, it's a true story, and this happens regularly. I had a little girl. So after I preached, it was my second sermon, and there were folks kind of lined up, and there's this little girl. She had to be 4 or 5 in our church, and you could tell she's kind of nervous, you know, coming to talk to the pastor. And she comes up, and I give her a hug, and it's unbelievable. She's 5 years old. She had this picture that she said, you know, Pastor, I drew this. You know, want to give this to you. And it was a picture, but she had like my 5 points written out. I'm like, we could preach this right now. And I'm going, man, kids can handle way more than we realize.
You ever see a 4-year-old watch a YouTube video on their parents' device, and then they mock that YouTube video and they know how to? I mean, yes, children can comprehend more than we think. And the most important part of that, Halleck and Dan, is that God can penetrate the heart of a child in ways we don't even understand.
That's exactly
here's a key element to all of that. One of my earliest recollections growing up on the mission field, my earliest recollection is the first house we lived in, you know, and things like that. My second earliest recollection was, and I was probably only about maybe 6 years old, 5 years old at the time, when revival broke out in Honduras. You know, in church. Now, I didn't understand it at the time, but later when God got a hold of me, that came back and I understood, and it made such an impression on my life.
Wow.
So I think our children have these experiences, and then God uses those later in life to bring them around to a new understanding.
And how many times have you been with your child, your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old, whatever, let alone your 7 or 9-year-old? You think they're not paying attention to what I'm saying. They're not listening to what we're talking about. You and your wife might be fussing and you think, well, they don't hear that. And then later on, you realize they heard everything. They processed everything. They are listening to more than you could imagine. So even that child sitting in the pew, maybe is sort of fidgety, drawing on the bulletin or whatever. We don't have bulletins anymore, but anyway, drawing on the worship program or whatever you call it. Or maybe, you know, and he seems fidgety. But you have no idea how just a phrase, just a word, just an experience. You know, one of the first memories I have, and it's vivid in my mind, it's a Sunday night. My mom's on the second or third pew of the church, and I'm laying down on that pew because it's Sunday night and I'm tired, and my head is on her lap, and she's singing. And that's the sweet – she's singing a hymn with everybody else.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trade that memory for anything. That began to build in me – a sense of love, of worship, of comfort, of all of that. You can call it emotionalism and nostalgia. I don't. I say it's the way the Lord was really speaking to me. This is a safe place. This is a clean place. This is a healthy place.
Yeah.
You put them in the nursery, fine. They can go play with the blocks. They can play with the trains. They can hit each other with the dolls. Yeah. Or they can be with you. And boy, I just made a lot of people mad because I know teachers work hard to teach them during the worship service. So I don't mean that. But they're not experiencing the same thing in the worship service that they're – and by the way, if you have a nursery – I'm just got to get mail. No, we don't ever get mail anymore. But anyway, I'll get some comments. If you have a nursery in your church and you have a monitor in the nursery so you can watch the worship, you don't need to be doing that. If you're with the kids in the nursery, then be with the kids in the nursery. Mm. And if you're with the kids in the nursery, do all you can do to engage them in conversations about God. You got a 3-year-old in that nursery, you know, and you have a living area where they're sitting down to eat a pretend meal. Mm. Ask them, can we pray and bless this meal? Do you know God made the birds you see out there? I know you know all that.
Be present with the kids.
Okay, I'm way off topic.
No, that's really good.
I'm way off topic.
No, we're fine.
The preaching of God's word is transforming, and we want those kids to be present with that power. Number two, God can communicate in ways to the smallest child we could never understand.
That's right. And number three, understood correctly, children are not a distraction in worship.
Okay, you own this one. Talk
okay,
to me about
okay,
it.
Yeah. I got it. Man, whew, we're going, guys. We're going. listen, kids are a blessing from the Lord. We've got to start right there. You know what I mean? And in dying churches, man, I've told this story before, but do you know how many dying churches, they'd give anything to have kids? And when they start coming, then you need to celebrate kids. Mm-hmm. I would say, let me say practically right now, kids are not a distraction to your worship. Now, I get it. You know, we're not saying just let them go off the rails and run around and jump on the pews and go crazy. I mean, we've got to parent them. We've got to disciple them. We've got to lead them. But two things I'll tell you practically for every pastor who's listening, okay, every week. One, at some point in your sermon, every week, acknowledge the kids in there. And you speak to those kids.
Yeah.
And you tell them that you love them and Jesus loves them. And this is how this could apply to you. You acknowledge the kids every week that they're part of this. The second thing, when a baby cries and screams and it's awkward, here's what you say. Don't you love that sound? Mm-hmm. You say that. You literally say that. Mm-hmm. Because here's what happens. That mom who's very embarrassed at that point is just waiting to see how people will respond. You, pastor, are creating a culture. You're either creating a culture in your leadership where that mom and crying babies are celebrated and welcomed, or they're asked to leave. Literally, we have a brand new family just started coming a couple weeks ago. They left their church because their crying infant, the pastor approached them after the service. This is nuts. I don't get how this even happens. And basically said, until your child, you can get your child under control, they cannot be in the worship center, sanctuary while we're preaching. I mean, it's nuts.
Did you send that pastor a thank you note?
Well, I mean, it's incredible to me. But guys, listen, if you don't lead, then people, they are going to feel awkward and they're not going to know what to do. And they might just naturally say, well, this isn't appropriate. So you need to say, man, Jesus loved kids.
And as important as proactively saying, don't you love the sound of a baby, you know, the children being in this worship center? As important as that is, guys, manage your facial expressions when that baby starts to cry.
Well, that's true.
Because if you seem frustrated by that, look, if you're a pastor and you're a preacher, for goodness sake, learn to preach through the distractions.
Yeah.
Because if you're not distracted, your congregation's not distracted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's phone goes off, just don't get this look on your face like, who did that or where's that at?
Now
I've lost my place.
Yeah.
Ask the Lord to give you the wisdom and the strength to just move right on as though nothing happened. Because if it doesn't affect you, it doesn't affect other people.
Well, yeah, and beyond that, the deeper level is ask God to change your heart so that you actually believe that sound is a blessing.
Yes.
And because people can tell if you're faking it. So anyway, all that to say, we need to help our people understand that children are a blessing to worship. They're not a distraction to worship. Number four. Children learn songs very early.
Oh, my. This is such a key.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite memories, in fact, I have it on video. My youngest grandson, who was 3 at the time, singing a hymn word for word. Mm-hmm. The only place he heard it was in church.
Right.
You know. Wow. So I mean, kids, that's a language. You know, music is yeah. one of the reasons why little Millie, my granddaughter, likes to go to worship because she loves the music.
Yeah, loves
I can't
sing.
Stand the music that they play and sing at that church, but she loves it. You know?
She loves it. She loves it.
Yeah, I think even the song. Look. Even though they may not know what it means to raise mine Ebenezer at this point, at some point, that is, look, our friend Joe Kreider, man, read everything Joe writes. He's at Southwestern Seminary. He's a good friend, and he's so passionate about the fact that God has created our minds and our hearts and our souls to be imprinted with music. Mm. He made us that way, mm-hmm. right? And you know, how many times have you been with the very last few days or hours of a person who's passing away? You know, they're struggling to breathe, they're really not coherent, their family's standing around them, they're not responding to anything, and then you begin to play or sing some hymns.
Yeah.
And you see a facial expression that you've never seen on them before. And I've seen it so many times, Mark, they'll even mouth the words of the song. It's imprinted in them. So you get a 3 or 4 year old and he hears or she hears those same songs mm-hmm. week after week mm-hmm. after week. Again, how much of the world is getting imprinted on them? Yeah. How much of the secular music are they listening to?
Yeah.
For goodness sake, put them in that worship service and let them. And even if they don't act like they're paying attention, children will learn songs.
Yes.
You don't even know they're learning them.
That's exactly right.
They learn songs very early. Number five, Mark.
Number five is children learn routine very early.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, it's a little bit like whatever, every church has a liturgy. Some is just more formal than others.
Right.
But we walk in, we sit down, there's prayer, there's singing, we stand. That whole sense of routine is very comforting to children, I think, in many ways, because there's so much in our life that's not,
that's
you don't
so
have that.
True. Yeah.
So that sense of organization, that sense of every week we're doing this, the sense of routine is really important. Now, sometimes in our Baptist churches, we don't have that, maybe those guardrails or that of liturgy that some churches have. But I think liturgy is really important for children. I think catechism is important for children.
I know
that's kind of weird for a Baptist to say, but I think both of those things.
That's
and
right.
catechism is really a routine. This is, you know, what's the chief end of man? You know, to love God and glory. Go ahead.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Were you going to say something?
No. Were you going to say something?
No,
you weren't.
No,
you were just like you enthralled in what I was talking about.
I was enthralled.
I think you were ready to make a decision right
there.
No,
right. You should have.
Well, listen.
Gone with
here's
it.
Going back to this routine. You know, I think Rainer says the average church going, like this would be like member of a church, attends church 1.7 times a month. Is that
right? That's right. That's right.
Right? Okay. So what kind of routine is that?
Yeah, really.
What is that teaching kids? I'll tell you what it's teaching kids. The church is an option. And when we're not doing something else, you know what I mean? And so again, I think the three of us, I think this is fair to say, we were all blessed in that we were raised in homes. Church was not optional, man.
No, it wasn't.
Like Sunday mornings, you went to church. That is not the norm anymore.
Yeah.
And so we have to, again, speaking to pastors and leaders here, guys, we have to talk about this. Because like you said, Clifton, our kids are, here's the truth, they are under attack all the time.
Yep.
The world wants to absorb them.
Yep.
And so we've got to fight for these kids, and we've got to help their parents fight for their kids' souls
as well.
And so
the routine and grown-up worship.
Yes.
Is important for a child to see and to experience.
Yep.
And look, you may think, well, they're not ready for that or whatever. Hey, if you're a KU basketball fan, you'd love to take that 4-year-old to KU basketball game and watch and see how that whole how it unfolds.
Yeah.
The pregame, the bringing in the team, the warm ups, the whole day, you know. This is the routine. This is what we
that's
do.
Right, that's
Isn't
right,
this
that's
exciting?
Right.
You know, you want your kid to experience the whole routine.
That's right.
He's 4 years old. He doesn't understand all the history.
He doesn't understand
of that,
it all.
But,
yeah.
But you want them to experience. Man, he needs to know that you want him in church experiencing this routine of worship every week because it's important. There's a rhythm to worship.
Amen.
We come. We greet one another. We confess our sin. We're grateful for our salvation. We pray for the world. We sing glorious songs. We respond to Scripture. We hear the preaching. We respond to that. There's a routine to that.
Yeah.
And it's helpful for children to be exposed to that routine.
Yeah.
These are all reasons why children, even young children, will benefit from being in corporate worship with adults.
Well, and the routine that they learn in the worship experience is something that they apply outside the church also.
Yes.
You know, they'll they'll replay that over and over and over. Even when they're playing, watch a kid that goes to church on a regular basis. Go, let them play like they're fixing food or fixing a meal or what. You know, there's something heartwarming when they'll stop to pray for that plastic piece of toast. You know, and it's just a routine. Yeah.
And we've all seen it. Maybe we haven't all seen it, but I've certainly seen it. It just absolutely grips your heart when you see a group of children play church.
I mean
play church in a good way.
Yeah.
I've seen them. Okay, I'll preach and you sit here and they reenact. I've seen that happen. And man, that is so awesome.
Oh, I know, and that's
you
sweet.
See that. Okay,
I had my three boys baptize each other. You know, in the tub.
Practice this.
Yeah,
that's right. Get them ready.
Took a week to clean up all the water.
Okay, number six is this: children need to see their parents and siblings worshiping.
Mm-hmm. Go with it, Mark.
Wow. Well, this is the power of part our responsibility as parents. But I can tell you what, man, I learned to sing by sitting in that pew every week, listening to my father sing for one. My mother sing, but I'll tell you who I remember singing, my grandma with that vibrato. Oh, my word. But you know what? Most mornings, true story, you know, I can hear my grandma, great is thy faithfulness, great, you know. But I'll tell you what, every morning, Lord, great is your faithfulness. You know what I mean? And so there's power in hearing, and I would say especially for a moment here, talking about kids listening to dads.
Yeah.
Dads singing, dads leading in worship. And that's nothing against mothers singing. They need to hear their mother singing. But there's something about a young man especially looking up at their dad in that pew and seeing him lift his hands to the Lord and singing out praises to the Lord. This is so formative. I think both of you, I know, had godly fathers who modeled this for you in your life.
Yeah, the only time I wasn't afraid of my father was when he was worshiping. True. You know, I knew when he was worshiping, he was in a different realm. When he wasn't, he was watching me and making sure that I lived straight and narrow. Let's bring this up to this final point, and that is we've talked about all of these great things, but the fact of the matter is worshiping takes discipline, and putting your children into that setting of discipline is far more important than just letting them go to a class because it's easier.
Right. As the article we wrote, or that we read from Gospel Coalition, put it, I think, so succinctly, you know, I got a 2-year-old. He's going to be a little antsy in the pew. You don't know my 4-year-old. Would you consider that worshiping together takes priority over parental ease?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is easier to drop the kid off.
It is. It is. It absolutely is.
It is. But what are you doing? What are you missing at that point? And there's another article that we've read recently, about having children, you know, a bunch of preschoolers, how hard it is to get up on Sunday morning and how challenging it is to get them all there. And it's kind of – again, it's worth the cost of doing
that. Yes, it is.
Right?
It is.
But – yeah, it's easier to drop them off. I get that. Yep. And you say, well, they're distracting me in my worship. I get that. But just consider the possibility that the child being with you is more important than parental ease.
Yes. And let me just give one word of hope as we get ready to close here.
All right.
So many of you probably listening are in churches where you don't have children's ministry programs.
Right.
And the church down the street is killing it because they do. And heck, you're just trying to find somebody to teach and you're like, what do we do on Sunday mornings? I'll tell you what you do. You do what we're talking about.
That's right.
You lean into worship and you cast a vision. We love kids in worship. You don't have to have all the programs. The Lord's going to bless what you're doing as you minister to families and invite children to be part of that worship gathering. And if there's seven of you there, praise the Lord. There's seven of you there.
You know, at our church, we have a bunch of hooks when you walk in, and at the height of children, and on those hooks are really cool bags, canvas bags, and in those bags are things related, hopefully most of the time, to the sermon we're preaching or something, some activities, some things they can draw, they can fill out, those kinds of things. So especially if you've got some new people coming who have children, it gives them something to do. But trust me, just because a child is like drawing on something does not mean that child's not listening, aware of what's going on. And that shows the parents you care enough about them to do that. By the way, if you're in a normative-sized small church, sometimes if you're going to have a nursery, you're going to have two people in there. You never have one.
That's right.
So you may have two people in there for one child.
Yep.
And that seems, again, just think through what it means to be And Kyle's giving me the speed up sign, right? Because we're over 22 minutes now. We've been on this. And at 20 minutes, everybody just gets bored with me. Yeah. So we're done.
Well, but Kyle's a legalist.
He is a legalist. That, well, know. He's a child. His attention span is so small.
Maybe we should have dropped him off.
In the nursery. Yeah.
By the way, here's something to remember. Your children learn to worship by observing you.
Yep.
It's really important to understand. I hope this has been a blessing to you and that you've learned something and that it's stimulated your faith and helped you to deal with these issues in your own church. We'll be back at our next episode with more things to do to help you in your ministry and as you help to revitalize and replant your church. Thank you for spending the time with us.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.